listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, give the drummer some, pipe down, give the plumber some. You are checking out the number one assassinator of lame ducks. Fine Tigger got the game tucked like a cummerbund. Young C, we got another one, giving these niggas another run for the money. The crap table, when them dice get hot, Fonte doing shot, got your money on the spot. Is that right? People want to ask, hey, why you so mad? I say because comfortable niggas like you ain't made enough. The war of our minds is just intensifies. We got bigger fish to fry, niggas, so batter up. We on the battlefield with the monster, man. People, pretty soon your own thoughts gonna be contraband. They can harass, abuse, and try to knock us. As long as we got breath, man, they can't stop us. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Monday. Mm-hmm. After a very long weekend of hard work.
Yes, sir.
I mean, can we talk about us for a second?
I mean, is that okay? We was working hard this weekend.
Is that all right for everybody? So we did, of course, I think Friday, me and Justin did Balls Deep pregame. Mm-hmm. Weekend, we did the feedback show. Went to see my niece at her recital for the orchestra.
That was fun.
It was the honors orchestra, so it's like they take the best kids from each school. Yeah, and like
AB honor roll of orchestra,
everybody in Charlotte and stuff. And it's wild because there's not very many, some states don't even have that program.
They don't, they used to. And a lot of the when people want to defund the arts, is like the very first thing they defund. Like they didn't want to get rid of band, they wouldn't get rid of orchestra. And you go, well, study since the, cause I was in the band, I didn't, Layla played strings, and I played woodwind. And the thing about it, studies and statistics have shown that people that are in some form of extracurricular creative thing like that actually do better in math and science and all these other fields, because it teaches them certain things. And but that's the very first thing they want to cut and they want to chop, and it's like a disservice to like the community.
Yeah, it's funny because people think music it's so wild, especially for black people with black kids, right? Because back in the day, music was, and it still is to a certain extent, but considered like the way out, or a way out, right? Like, learn to play music or entertain some white people in some kind of way, and then you get yourself out of the hood, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And while it is a bridge and a gateway to all that stuff, like, it also just is something that can inspire a child's mind.
Right.
As the one of the conductors said, he's like, you know, music, to be good at music, you have to understand how excellent these kids are.
Come on.
He said, you know, to get a good grade, you know, to pass a math or a science class or English class, you know, 90% is an A.
Right.
95, that's an A. He said, can you imagine we miss one out of every 20 notes up here?
You would sound fucking terrible.
Right. It would be unlistenable. So he's like, you know, there's a discipline to it, a rhythm to it, a knowledge to it. Not to mention how it stokes creativity. Like, they had parts where the kids got to write their own solos and mm-hmm. certain things. So it was just really cool to see that, tradition being carried on, and to see that, you know, Layla's excelling at that. You know, and then to come out and be supportive and be like, you know, hey, we proud of you and keep doing it, you know, cause I like to be there for those kind of things, just so, you know, she knows that, you know, it's not just about, you know, math and classes and stuff. It's like also these things you're interested in, I'm interested in you being interested in them. So mm-hmm. you know, if you interested in violin, then we interested in violin.
We sure is. And if I don't know nothing about it, I'll learn something about it, you know.
Yeah.
Or even if I don't learn nothing about it, I'll actually kind of, you know, pick up on the context of the clues or whatever else you're doing. And even if I'm sitting there and I'm lost the whole time, for the fact that you're up there, I am going to enjoy your presence.
And I think that's the point of being like an aunt, an uncle. Not, you know, we don't have kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have that energy and that attitude that, you know, is going to be more enthusiastic, because I understand it's not a revelation if she's in your house practicing a couple hours a day every day. You probably like, I'm sick of that fucking violin. But I'm not, you know what I mean? So
I'm not either, honey. I would show up with pom-poms and cheer on, and it was really, we could see the growth, because we've seen her, you know, perform before, but mm-hmm. this is the first time, and this was her first time going out for honors, and she made it on her first time.
Yeah.
And so that was an honor in itself, you mm-hmm. know. And so I was very excited for her and happy for her, and, you know, just talking to her about it, because I remember she, you know, like I said, she did strings, and I was in the woodwind section. So, you know, we talked about band, and, you know, I talked about difference between the instruments and things like that. Like, I don't know everything, but I do have, I do have some knowledge of it, you know, cause I played to like the 11th grade, and I think they actually changed the grade levels when I was, coming up. About the fourth grade is once when you actually got started. So you went from elementary to middle to high school, but now I think it actually starts in middle school. I don't, I don't think any elementary schools even offer it here anymore.
Right.
And so that makes a difference too, because a lot of times if you start in elementary school, for a lot of children, they actually continue that into adulthood. And the later you start, you're less likely to stop. I mean, the later you start, you're more apt not to continue it on because, you know, you don't have those years of experience and things like that. And I think that, it was beautiful, and just to sit and listen. And they played some very, very, very advanced music. They had like two pieces.
Well, they have like, they had the symphonic and the philharmonic or something like that.
I don't know the difference between
and we couldn't figure out the difference. None of us could. We were in the audience. We Googled. We were asking people. Nobody knew the difference. We were, we even looked down the instruments to see like if the kids were playing different instruments,
and
it was pretty much the same. Like they had a little bit of accompaniment from drums, I think, for the second one, but it wasn't like that was the difference. And then afterwards, you know, we're talking to Layla. I was like, Layla, what was the difference between symphonic and harmonic? Because we couldn't figure it out. And she was like, oh, they just better. The other kids just like they're better at this. They've been doing it longer.
Yeah,
that's it.
And me, because me and Rodney, your brother, was talking about it, and when the second group started, I was like,
They were playing longer songs.
Right.
They were playing songs that people were more familiar with. Not that we weren't familiar with the first ones, but it's like they were like playing the theme to Star Wars.
Yeah,
and
like Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah.
You was like, oh, okay. And also the thing too is that with a lot of this stuff, like anything else, a lot of parents invest a lot of time and money. So a lot of these children have probably spent countless hours, and a lot of these children probably have tutors and all types of shit, and they probably do summer camps, because even in the brochure it was like, hey, you want to take your child to the summer violin camp? I was like, woo.
Yeah, some people, you know, that's the direction they want their lives to go, and that's the direction the kid might be interested in, so you want to keep pushing them as far as they feel comfortable. And you know, and I try to encourage her too. I told her, you know, if you doing private events, let me know, you know, I can class up the joint, you know, might need some violin playing going on, and we can pay for it, or you can just like maybe follow me around all day and play like theme music. I would like some classy violin theme music when I'm going to play basketball or going to the movies and stuff. But she didn't seem like she was I guess she's not ready to try talents in the private sector yet.
Not yet.
But when she is, I'll be here. You know, I still would need the music.
Not yet. And also, being professional like that make a lot of money. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of people that perform, some actually like, I won't live. So they'll actually go hire a lot of people that live perform. And even here in Charlotte, they actually have like the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra. A lot of their performances are for free actually here in Charlotte. And so you can actually go hear them perform and play and shit like that. So it's money to be made in that field.
Well, this is the Black Guy Who Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search The Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And of course, we are celebrating all month long blackface history, as the blackface history continues this year. It's a very last year we got Black Panther, and the only secret blackface pics that surfaced was Drake, but this year it's everybody. All of the whites.
You get a black face. You got a black face? Do you got a black face? Show us your black face.
If we go 24 hours without a black face story this Black History Month, I'll be goddamn shocked. I don't know what's more surprising.
Black History Month is not about the black people. It's about the black face. Well, black people already got black faces, so you know they ain't talking about us.
What do we have more of it this year? Black face scandals or Democratic presidential candidates announcing that they're joining the race? Because
I don't know, it's a bunch of them.
It's neck and neck right now.
They tied.
Okay. And I know the Grammys were last night, and I'm gonna just tell y'all right now, I did not watch them.
Sure didn't.
I stand with Cap. Okay. I focotted the fuck out of them Grammys. And now I think anytime I focot something, I'm gonna just say I stand with Cap, because because fuck it, y'all did it. I stand with Cap. I couldn't watch the Grammys. I understood, like, I think Cardi won a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
My man Childish Gambino won for This Is America, which he motherfucking should have. I know the haters is mad, and I know all the I don't like him people is mad, but you know what? I don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
I don't give a fuck, because that's the only video you niggas talked about to death. Okay, niggas was think-piecing, podcasting. Ain't nobody stop and do that. Even for the videos people loved last year, they didn't stop and talk about it. That not the way they talked about that This Is America.
Right.
Whether you was outraged, offended, inspired, intrigued, confused, whatever, you stopped what you were doing and had a goddamn discussion about it. That's what a video of the year should be. Something that we had to be like, hey man, did you see that shit? You know? So, congrats to him, and he didn't even show up. And I heard Drake got cut off giving a acceptance speech when he was saying that it really don't matter who win Grammys. And
oh, that was like,
as long as people in your city know the words of your song, fuck everybody. And it was like, oh, cut this shit off, commercial.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. And a lot of a lot of celebrities was like, we're not going. And a lot of times when a lot of celebrities opt out, the performances, you do have some stars, but you don't have the high quality of stars to actually put your eyes on it, you know, because Jay-Z and Beyonce was like, mm-mm. Jay was like, fuck that 0 for 8 shit.
Now
I'm good.
And I'm sure Nicki was mad because she ain't win shit.
She wasn't even nominated, was she?
Nope.
Right.
But I mean, she ain't never won shit.
Ah.
So she probably mad. All right, let's get into our sponsor. It's a little bit sexy.
Don't talk, just listen.
Hey!
I have to be honest with you, baby. I lied.
Free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. And it is almost time, y'all. Valentine's Day is upon us. Okay? You got like 3 days for Valentine's Day.
Get your life together.
I don't know what your plan is. Some of y'all missed it, and now you're going to be sorry. Maybe you have an apology gift. Well, Adam and Eve is trying to help you out, okay? All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com, select almost any item, and you can get over 50, you can get 50% off of that item by itself. That just right there is already a deal, okay? 50% off of an item. Like, you won, okay? I have a box full of toys in there. They all work, okay?
Mm-hmm. They all of them.
They all work. But here's where the deal gets even better with the free stuff. If you put in code TBGWT at checkout, not only do you get 50% off of one item, you also get 10 tantalizing free items. First of all, for your viewing pleasure, you get 6 free movies. 6. Okay? Next, a free mystery pack that includes an item for him, a special toy for her, and something we know you both will enjoy slapping all over each other, okay? Plus, you get free shipping, my favorite kind. All you gotta do for this Valentine's Day package is go to adamandeve.com, pick out one item, use offer code TBGWT, and then that's it. That's the whole thing. You want to use offer code TBGWT because without it, there will be no free Valentine's Day stuff, all right? AdamandEve.com, code TBGWT. All right. Let's talk about some news, guys. You know, I might change the name of the trash segment to something else.
Okay.
But I mean, these niggas is trash for all the sexual harassment going on in the world. But
okay.
This dude, Justin Fairfax, he is the lieutenant governor for Virginia.
He one of them niggas up there.
He got interviewed by The Root, and he discussed the allegations against him. And I won't lie, I mean, and now here's the thing, as an interviewer, it is fairly difficult to get somebody embroiled in a legal scandal to talk about it with any candidness, because honestly, it's going to cost them if they're, you know, they may say some things that incriminate them or make things worse for them or legally they shouldn't be talking about. And this works both ways. Even if you want to exonerate yourself, you might say something that is going to make you look really bad saying, you know, whatever it is about the person accusing you of sexual assault or whatever. So my thing is I don't know why he would want to do this interview. I also don't know why the Root, knowing you got one hand tied behind your back, would want to do the interview. I mean, I guess for the clicks maybe, or to help him kind of get his story out there, but it's just going to look like you're getting his story out there. So the Root spoke to Lieutenant Governor Fairfax about his understanding of consent, how he's able to perform his duties, and what an investigation to these charges may look like. What many people don't know is that while the governor and attorney general deal with their own controversies, as Lieutenant Governor, you're still responsible for presiding over the Virginia state every day while facing allegations. What has it been like trying to do your job this week? He says, I've been very relaxed. I've been able to focus on my official duties, has always helped. I enjoy that work tremendously, presiding over the senators and staff interactions and working with constituents. I welcome the opportunity to focus on those issues that the people of Virginia elected us to work on. The Root, have you noticed any changes in how your colleagues treat you or work with you? Throughout the week, several Virginia Democratic entities, including Legislative Black Caucus, have asked him to resign. Are you still able to do your job effectively with several allegations against you? He said, I've not noticed any differences with senators and others in Capitol Square. I've had a high comfort level with the work, with the facts at hand, and I'm firm and comfortable with the truth. I've been able to do the job as well as ever. Now, Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to ask you a question that is foremost in the minds of many people since the initial allegations against you, and a question that many organizations across the nation have been the most concerned with. How do you know that you had consent from Dr. Vanessa Tyson? Now, what we didn't know at the beginning time, I think, but now it's become apparent, the women accusing him are both Black.
Okay. I didn't know yeah, what I race didn't either. They were.
So the reason I even want to broach that is because there's a narrative out there many times that happens with Black men that are accused of sexual assault. When it's by a white woman or someone not Black, there's this automatic, like, this is just racism. Well, why didn't they say something earlier? You know, that type of thing that comes up in a lot of these cases. And, you know, and then when it's a Black woman, a lot of times we're just like, they lying, it didn't happen, or whatever. And it's easier to dismiss a Black woman as, i.e. like R. Kelly.
Right.
And things like that. It's just kind of fucked up. But within the community, it works. To me, it seems whatever the opportunity to dismiss the charges against a Black man are, those are the opportunities taken. So when it's a Black woman, then they go, you know, that she must be lying, or she just trying to bring her brother down. It could be anything. When it's a white woman, it's, this must be racism. What about Rosewood and shit like that? Keep in mind, he does admit to having sex with both these women. He just says it was consensual. Which is one of the hardest things to talk about when you're talking about sexual assault, because even if you were to get like a sexual assault kit done on you, you'd call the police immediately and all that stuff. Tell people, once somebody has you privately in a room and y'all are having consensual sex or rape or sexual assault or whatever, it is literally their word against yours for the most part.
Correct.
Because there's not going to be film of it. There's not going to be... you know, it's gonna be what this person said versus what this person said. And when it's that, it often comes down to who people either like more or who they value more.
Right.
And if they value this man and his position more than these women, then that's what then they're just like, fuck it. All right. So they go on. Dr. Vanessa Tyson, a doctor, right? People always act like these women are just opportunists looking for some come up or something.
Right.
Like, there's like, who gets a sexual assault check in the mail? How's that work? That at 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston, she entered a hotel room on the secure candidate floor with Justin Fairfax, who at the time worked on the John Kerry campaign. Her charge is that while she initially consented to kissing and touching, that Fairfax forced her to perform oral sex. She states that she was visibly upset about after the encounter and never interacted with him again. He says, I'm very confident that the entire encounter was consensual. We're looking forward to the independent investigation to explore the facts and assess various factors involved. Those reviews will support what I know is the truth, that I never sexually assaulted Dr. Tyson. In several statements, Justin Fairfax maintained the sexual encounter with Dr. Vanessa Tyson was consensual. He has also maintained that he interacted with her on several occasions since the encounter, and she's never expressed discomfort or concern about their past actions. Now, one of the things that's also interesting here, when you're talking about sexual assault, there's going to be a lot of people that completely write off this woman because she went to his room. And that's it.
Right, that's the end of the story.
Anything a man does to you in the room is consensual, as far as a lot of people will be concerned.
Right.
Here's the thing you have to think about with that, in my opinion, if you're on that side of the fence. Aren't you then admitting that men are just rapist ass trash?
Right.
Like, isn't that what you're saying? Is once you enter a private situation with a man, anything that he wants to do to you sexually is now your fault, whether you consent to it or not. There is no levels of consent. There is no, hey, I was cool with this, but I'm not cool with that. It's just all your fault. You are now unrapeable, as far as I'm concerned, because you walked in a room with a man alone, and yet we don't want to say men are trash. We don't want to say, you know, there's male privilege. We don't want to say, like, how can both things exist at once?
Right.
So that's what I think about. He says, I'm very confident it was consensual. We look forward to independent investigation to explore the facts and assess various factors involved. Those reviews will support what I know is the truth, that I never sexually assaulted Dr. Tyson. Yeah, okay. The other thing about that too is, like, she's not there to give her side of the story or the details to match up, so you can be like, well, she said this happened. But he was gonna, that's like such a canned answer. And I don't think he would be able to give you more than that if he did or did not do it. I don't think there's a way for him to exonerate himself in an interview. I just don't think it would happen. The Rue, I asked the same question about the second allegation. How did you know that you had consent from Meredith Wilson? On Friday, through her lawyers, Meredith Watson released a statement alleging that in the year 2000, when they both were students at Duke University, he raped her at a fraternity party. He says, I'm likewise very confident in the truth that the entire encounter with Miss Watson was consensual. Neither that night nor other times I saw her on campus did she give me the impression that it was anything but consensual. We are fully cooperating with investigators who are assessing the situations, and we're sure that they will once again confirm the truth that I never raped Miss Watson. So you're saying at no point in either of these encounters did anyone tell you no or physically reject you? Correct. When pressed about specific details of each encounter, Dr. Tyson and with Meredith Watson, the lieutenant governor was fairly clear, calling for local and FBI investigations into the allegations, as he thought it was important to speak to law enforcement before going public with certain details of each encounter, but that such details would be forthcoming in a future interview. Well, maybe that's the interview that should have been done.
Correct, because what was the point of this interview?
Yeah, like, this is just reads like PR for him to be like, wasn't me, you know, the end. Like, it was, yeah. It was straight.
And the thing is, because the way the society conditions women, there are a lot of women that are, women have to wear multiple faces, and women wear a face among ourselves, and when we're by ourselves, and we actually wear a different face around men. Men don't understand this, but because you're a man, women have to quote unquote perform and do certain things around men to make them feel comfortable, because when they don't feel comfortable, we're not safe anymore. And that's something that a lot of men don't have a tendency to look at. Of course, she's not, of course, but a lot of times women are conditioned, regardless of what that man does, you have to act like shit is normal. Mm-hmm. Regardless if he whips your ass, punch you in the eye, regardless if he rapes you, you have to act like the shit is normal.
Yep. And like, I'm sorry, but like, how are two women that don't even fucking know each other just coming forward about the same guy doing the same thing to them? Like, that's not weird to nobody. All of that just make you go, bitches be lying, and that's it. You don't need to look into anything else. You don't even think about it.
Cause that's an easy answer. Anything beyond that would require critical thinking. Anything beyond that.
If a police officer had two allegations of excessive use of force, I would be like, I don't want that cop arresting me. I don't want him a cop anymore. I don't want him in charge of shit. I am now concerned about this person. I want answers to this. Like, I don't know how anybody, well, just, you know, go to work the next day, move, whatever, shit happens, you know, bitches be lying then. And the thing for me, I'm on front, man. The thing for me that put it over the top was that report in that article that he was like, that bitch lying or something like that in a closed door meeting. And I said, yeah, that's how fucking rapists talk, dog. Even if you're not, you can't have that job talking like that.
No, you can't.
You just can't. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He says, what I will say is we have called for an impartial investigation by the FBI because we want the facts to be assessed and be known. We are open to fully cooperating with any investigation and the results of those investigations. Root, let's do some science fiction. In 6 months from now, you're still Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. You're out here there campaigning for Democrats for state legislative races this fall. What do you say to constituents that may still have concerns about the allegations you faced in February? In that time frame, in 6 months, I look forward to being exonerated and that these investigations will have concluded in a way that makes the truth plain in public and that I've never assaulted or raped anyone. Not Miss Watson or Dr. Tyson or anyone else. Clearing my good name. I believe that the Democrats will be in a strong position to win majorities in the House and the Senate. I think that once people see the facts, they'll understand the truth and allow us to continue to serve and get the kind of things done that we set out to do.
That's a good answer. You're not answering the question. That's not going to make people feel better about these allegations. Right. What the fuck are you talking about, sir?
I'm going to be exonerated since we're making shit up.
And, okay. Well,
here's the thing. Are you going to be exonerated?
Correct.
What does exoneration look like for this?
Right.
Because the only way to really be exonerated or something like this is for the people to come out and be like, I was lying, or for them to say, or for it to be like, it actually, we didn't even have sex. I don't even know this woman. We weren't in the same house, or we weren't in the same room. Here's proof of my whereabouts. And we're not getting that because you said y'all did have consensual sex. So you just muddied it enough that she can never really clear your name. You can never really clear your name anyway. You can't really be exonerated unless these women come out and say, I just made it all up for no reason. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, maybe that happens. I don't think I've ever heard that before, really, where multiple women came out and said, I accused somebody of sexual assault, but I was making it up. I've never heard of that, but maybe you'll be the first. Virginia Democrats this weekend was getting mad hype and being on Twitter like he needs to go, and all the like candidates for president was saying he needs to go and all this stuff, especially once the second woman came out.
You know, while we have made a lot of progress,
sexual assault allegations.
Sorry, two videos start playing at the same time because then the other time I can't get to play one video.
Right.
God damn it. Three videos actually. Got them all. So they were planning on like impeaching him and starting the proceedings Monday morning. Patrick Pope, Democratic delegate, tweeted early Monday that he got an enormous amount of sincere, thoughtful feedback from colleagues after circulating a draft of his impeachment bill, and that he sees that additional conversations need to take place before anything is filed. This is what I'm guessing and hoping. They want him to resign. Hopefully he does. Possession is 9/10 of the law with these political offices, so he might not. But hopefully he does. They replace him. And then hopefully Northam resigns too. The blackface man. Because then that's the only way it won't just go into a Republican hands. And I think the voters of Virginia deserve better than that.
Right.
They did vote for Democrats. They deserve to get some officials that will represent them and not in the way that these two have done. But I would hope that they would do something that would lead to a Democratic candidate person replacing them that was not on the bullshit that they on. Seems like the qualifications are kind of low. I mean,
already,
I'm not trying to like raise the bar too high, but a non-rapist, non-blackface person, possibly, maybe, could we consider that?
Maybe.
Is that possible to put on the wanted ad? on the dealt wanted ad? Just, hey, no rapist, no blackface. Is that y'all good with that? Jesus.
Well, those are the prerequisites.
It sounds like maybe there has to be some bigger considerations than just getting him impeached and just moving on, but I don't know. The legislature is swirling with questions about line of succession and the political fallout for Democrats. Should their governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general leave office willingly or not? And then Northam did an interview on Face the Nation, with Gail King. I'll play some of that for you.
While we have made a lot of progress in Virginia, slavery has ended, schools have been desegregated, we have ended the Jim Crow laws, easier access to voting, it is abundantly clear that we still have a lot of work to do, and I really think this week raised a level of awareness in the Commonwealth and in this country.
Mm-hmm. well, thank God you did that favor for us, Governor, by getting caught with that blackface. I mean, we would have never been aware that there was racial problems. I mean, how else would we have known? I don't know if you can see the future or what, but 1984, that was, man, you really hooked us up with that one. Thanks, buddy. I guess it's like we all owe you a favor.
That we haven't seen, certainly in my lifetime.
And why you think you still deserve this job when so many people are calling for you to step down?
Well, again, we have worked very hard. We've had a good first year, and I'm a leader. I've been in some very difficult situations, life and death situations, taking care of sick children. And right now,
you're a doctor, yeah.
Right now, Virginia needs someone that can heal. There's no better person to do that than a doctor.
Ben Carson's a doctor. Man, you gotta write yourself a prescription for going the fuck home. Like, what? What? What does this have to do with anything?
I don't know. It was like, I know we lost the game, but we had a good game team, and we was right there working hard, and you know, we are all leaders. We lost, coach, but that don't matter.
Oh, my God.
Virginia also needs someone who is strong, who has empathy, who has courage, and who has a moral compass. And that's why I'm not going anywhere. I have learned from this. I have a lot more to learn. But we're in a unique opportunity now. Again, the 400-year anniversary of the history, whether it be good or bad, in Virginia, to really make some impactful changes.
And slavery in this country,
yes.
In this state, yeah. Did you ever think about resigning when the drum beat?
It's crazy that he really, I know he learned all this, like, this weekend. He's like, 400 you know. Years, this is book report right here. He's like, 400 years ago, slavery.
Mm-hmm. Somebody made him memorize
country,
that.
You know, cotton was the number one crop, along with tobacco, which, had a 45% share of most, cropper households. Also,
I didn't own no slaves.
Yeah.
I looked down my ancestry tree. We were poor whites.
Many planter households, struggled to make the rent under Andrew Jackson, but you know, later they were dignified.
How do we
became so
here?
Loud, and by the way, they're still beating for you to step down.
I don't live in a vacuum, and yes. So yes, I have heard it, and I've had, this has been a difficult week, and again, I'm fine. It's been mainly difficult for Virginia in this country. So yes, I have thought about resigning, but I've also thought about what Virginia needs right now. And I really think that I'm in a position where I can take Virginia to the next level, and it will be very positive. And you know, we have a number of inequities in this country right now and in Virginia, and we're in a position to really stop talking so much and now to take action with policy to address a lot of these inequities.
Yeah, sound like he not going nowhere either. Sound like end of the day.
And I'm telling you, I'm not going. And that's what he's saying. And you gonna love my black face. Yeah, that's what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, he also, it sounds like they edited it out of this version, which is interesting, because he also made another slip up in this interview.
Oh shit, now.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find another one with it, but he referred to the slaves that came to America and Virginia, black people, as black people that were indentured servants.
They love to use that out of context.
He must not have got to that chapter yet. He must not have. There's a lot of difference between indentured servitude and slavery.
Come on!
The lifelong. Now, you know, and maybe technically he has a point. Maybe there were some black people that were indentured slaves before the indentured servants before the slave trade officially started and said, we're just gonna make black people our slaves. But I would say when you're blackface guy, you wanna err on the side of, slavery is wrong and it's a huge scourge, and I'm not gonna mince words and call it anything that's not just slavery. You know, that's how I would have approached it, but I can't speak for that because I've, you know, I'm not his shoes, to be honest. So yeah, it's loading on seeing. I should have went to YouTube. I always do this. Hold on, let me go to YouTube. I always fuck this up. But yeah, he hit that indentured servants on them. They love mitigating the harm, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They were servants, not slaves.
And this is the Democrat. You know what I mean? Like, this is the Democrat. Republican be like, slavery ain't happened. Slavery? Slavery? Like,
what's slavery?
Servants. Northam? Let's see if that works. But yeah, he would have just been like, slavery. I mean, first of all, most slave owners were nice to their slaves, okay?
And most slaves were happy.
Say, you ain't, you heard all the happy songs? I mean, come on now. I know you're not the.
They weren't hooping and hollering and dancing for nothing.
You telling me wade in the water, not a bop? Is that what you telling me?
Ah, yes, not a bop. You mean to tell me Ezekiel had a wheel, didn't have you swaying?
Come on now. all right, let's see. So I think maybe this one. Okay. Let's see how long it is. Hopefully it's the short version. But yeah, she corrected him too. So shout out to Gayle King for being like, mm-mm, not so fast. Wait, why is this 13 minutes long? First of all, second of all, why is this 13 minutes long? I don't understand. How could it be 13 minutes of?
They can't.
It really was like 10 seconds for her to be like, no, nigga, that's not, that's not what it was. Mm. All right, I might just skip this then, because I'm definitely not playing 13 minutes of this shit.
I had to bounce around.
Yeah. Oh, it must be the whole interview. See, man, you can't label the clip that and then put the whole interview up. I'm sorry, but you gotta give me
the snippet. Is probably in there somewhere.
Just give me the snippet, okay, buddy. Anyway, man, he fucked up again, so we'll just move off of it then, because here's a 3-minute clip.
That sounds more reasonable.
Governor says he is not going anywhere, but now Governor Ralph Northam is facing even more scrutiny after new comments he made on race and slavery.
Yes. For his part, the Virginia Democrat says that navigating the blackface scandal has taught him a lot about white privilege. Have a listen.
I was born in white privilege, and that has implications to it. And it is much different the way a white person, such as myself, is treated in this country.
Did you not know that you were born into white privilege?
I knew I was, Ms. King, but I didn't realize really the powerful implications of that.
It's quite an admission there. CNN's Jessica Jean joins us now live from Richmond, Virginia. So, Jessica, the governor also made comments about slavery that raised concern here.
Let me skip forward to that
history. We're now at the 400-year anniversary, just 90 miles from here. In 1619, the first indentured servants from Africa landed on our shores in Old Point.
Oh, no! Comfort.
Don't do that. That's 5-10. You know what I like about that, though, is now we've heard the edited version, which sounded awkward in the first place, but like, they did him the favor of editing that shit. Like, why?
What we call now Fort Monroe, and while
also known as slavery.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the other word for it. Yes, slavery.
Like, they just scared. I mean, is saying slavery like the boogeyman? Do you say slavery and slaves just pop out of nowhere and spook you? I don't understand.
It was on the tip of my tongue. Slavery. Yes. That's the one. Oh, yes.
Slavery, the word of the day. What's happening here?
I was going to say forced free labor, but that is a better term for it. It's much simpler. 3 syllables. Slavery. Yes. That is what I meant. Slavery. I don't know what's going on in Virginia.
Don't say it too many times. You might be a slave. What is happening here?
Fairfax's staffers have resigned as Virginia Lieutenant Governor battles sexual assault allegations. So now his staff members are like, yeah, dog, I don't want to work for you. Right. So I guess he can't do that more interviews about, I haven't felt no changes. Everybody seemed fine.
Yeah, because all jokes aside, if you work for him, particularly a woman, particularly a black woman, if you work for him, people are going to ask you, how can you work for him? Like mm-hmm. Like they are being asked just as many questions as he is, and they're like, I'm good, I ain't gonna get a job somewhere else.
Yep, the government staffers who resigned are policy director Adele McClure and scheduling director Julia Billingsley, and the employees from the political action committee who quit are Dave Mills and Courtney McCargo. Mills is executive director of the PAC called We Rise Together. McCargo was a fundraiser for the committee, according to Times Dispatch.
Losing money, fundraiser people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like somebody said, I'm not gonna ruin my rep behind him because that's what's gonna happen. The longer he stays, the more it makes you look bad for actually staying connected to him.
Yeah, man. So that is that's ridiculous. You know, that's ridiculous. That's what happened. I don't know what's gonna happen next up there, because it all seems to be pretty fucked up, but I guess as Virginia turns, we'll be keeping up with the next iteration of the scandal.
Come on.
Good grief, man. Indentured servants. I'll say this for fucking with black people. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
So it's the Virginia days of our lives.
I guess so. The Commonwealth is up in an uproar.
Come on.
All right, let's see what else is going on. Oh, this is also disgusting. Grown men are sliding into Little Miss Flint's DMs. You guys may know Little Miss Flint. She is a little girl who we first met in 2014 when she was like 6 years old.
Yeah, she was doing the water, right?
Trying to get water for Flint.
Right.
Little Miss Flint, she's like met presidents and all this stuff.
Do they think she run her own page? Her parents probably run it.
Right. She's now like 11.
She still shouldn't be running it, but that's just
okay.
Me.
Yeah. I'm not having any kids. I'm not even talking about running your own page or not. Just saying, she's like 11 now. That I don't know if, you know, I don't know what the rules are for kids with social media, right, and how parents feel about it, but she's like a public figure.
Right.
So you would think that specifically with her mom and dad and or whoever's in her life would probably be involved just because of the amount of exposure a child like that would be getting.
And that's my thing. Yes.
Yeah, even adults don't handle that well.
Mm-mm.
I don't always handle that well. I'm a grown ass man. Anyway, she's 11 years old. Her mother took to her account. She also manages it. She told grown men to stay out of her DMs and stop hitting on their 11-year-old daughter. She posted screenshots. She said, "So, grown men, let's not do this. Stay out of my kid's inbox. The fact that you think it's okay to slide in the DMs of an 11-year-old is sick." Eric Sylvie says, "Hello, pretty. How are you doing today? You really got a lovely smile on your face. What are you doing?"
Something you could have said on the public line. What's happening here? Like,
right. Some of these dudes didn't even spell her name right. One said, "Hi, Mary, M-E-R-I, you're a grown man. What are you doing?" It's not like they're saying, "Hey, I have a newspaper and I want to write an article about you. And, is it possible that I can get some contact information in order to have you on my show or something?" No, "Hey, how you doing?" To a child. Peter Gudena, "Hi, Mari." Braille Alvin, "Hello, Mari, how are you? What are you doing? What are you doing?" Sunday Eve says, "Hey, you are so beautiful. Do you mind a chat?" Another grown ass man, Anthony Tony Hastings, "Hi." Her mother says this isn't anything. Her mother says this isn't nothing, and there are way more. There's more. Those are just the first six. Some were even worse than this. "I'm hoping Mari didn't even see them, but are you okay? Because that's got to be terrifying. She has seen a few of them when I was going through them. She said that's disgusting, and men need to get a life with people their own age." And people was like, "You know, if you need anything." She said, "Mary has a pretty spectacular team that handles things from all directions. She also has a ton of mentors that will knock someone for stepping out of line." Mm-hmm. That trash. What? That's it. I'm not renaming the segment. It's Stay in Trash. God damn. That's troll trash. It's a fucking child, man. What the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Right? Like I said, baby, because of her status and her only being 11, like I said, the parents should be running that account.
And when I say, like, it's not just R. Kelly, this is the shit I'm talking about.
Right.
Because people will try to be like, "He's a monster. He's sick. He's the one that he got to go." And I'm like, nah, this is a recent
this is a very recent revelation that people would start going, yeah, there's actually nothing cool about, you know, talking about some underage kid being sexy or how you want to fuck them or counting down their birthday until they're 18. It's actually not really that funny and not really that cool and not really mm-hmm. that edgy like you think it is. Yeah. It's just kind of the same pedophilic, same type of like way that society's always been towards little girls.
Right. And little girls and grown ass women have always had a problem with this. But because social media allows them to have a voice, people are like, there's something fucking wrong with you for saying, don't goggle over my goddamn child.
Yeah, I saw someone in the chat say they need to get the FBI on this. But then you'll probably have people being like, so y'all the feds now? We working with the FBI? You goddamn right I am. If they're threatening me, bitch. If you're trying to fuck my daughter, yes, I will be telling. So get the word out. Rod is the feds. Go ahead and get the t-shirts printed up. Because if you come for me, I will fucking snitch on your ass. What? I don't owe you shit. Try to, man, please. Hope you get shot. Fucking around. Trying to fuck little kids, motherfuckers. Nicki Minaj pulled out a BET experience after network trolled her with a Cardi B tweet. Yeah, man. So you know how we come on this show all the time and I tell y'all, like, don't get too caught up in social media because you be living for them tweets and retweets, but that shit is not necessarily real, but the consequences of that shit can be real. Example number one, dog. And it gets ugly. It's not okay. I'm not saying it's right that this happens, but nigga, this is realistic. Everybody know Nicki Minaj got rabbit ears. Say something about her on Twitter, she hopping people DMs, sick her fans on people, and she's just like repugnant and not, she doesn't feel bad about it at all. Mm-mm. She's clearly lashing out. Anybody wants to talk about her dating a convicted rapist and shit, she gets mad at y'all like, haha, we got the streets talking about us on some other shit. She not normal like that. She's cool being the evil, like the witch in the movie. She cool being the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you realize that, it's like you gotta be careful, and BET has business dealings with these people that they talk about through Twitter.
Right.
Now, I don't know the person who wrote this, particularly, but the person that wrote this did have her picture exposed by Nicki Minaj, and then Nicki Minaj's fans went and found her name and address and published it and all that shit. Like I said, not co-signing that at all, just, I understand how motherfucking Twitter works, and it's not the way people make it sound like it's just things that happen on there, like, mm-hmm. and we were mad, so we be, you know, we drug her. Well, people drag people for shit all the time that ain't necessarily right or wrong.
Right.
Or they drag people for shit that's absolutely, it's just bullying, but they call it dragging when they don't like the person.
Right. And they be wrong.
All of that shit is bullying. It don't matter if it's happening to somebody you want it to happen to or somebody you don't want it to happen to. It's just people don't feel that way. They change how they feel.
We need to talk.
Hold on.
Oh, we do?
They change how they feel. They change how they feel when it's a person that they like.
Yes.
That's when they say it's bullying. But I've watched those same people turn around and be shitty towards somebody else and call it a dragging or free education, as they said when they talked to Terry Crews. Yeah, so BET basically had published an article Sunday night highlighting Cardi B, as she became the first solo woman rapper to win Best Rap Album at the Grammys. Although they later took down the post. The reason behind the deletion of the post has to do with Nicki Minaj, who was brought into the conversation for some reason. Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj is being dragged by her lace front, BET said in a since deleted post across social media. In response, Minaj announced that she and Lil Wayne would no longer play the BET Experience concert in the lead up to the 2019 BET Awards. Young Money will no longer be part of the BET Experience or Awards show, she revealed. Cardi B, meanwhile, was the other headliner for the event. In a follow-up tweet, Minaj declared war on BET and the writer of the article, simply posting a number of screenshots of tweets critical of BET's post. She also encouraged fans that bought tickets to the BET Experience to get refunds. She later tweeted screenshots of her fans going after BET on their Instagram, too. Yeah, she liked this shit.
That's her thing.
Yep. And like I said, she posted pictures of the girl who tweeted the shit and everything. And then that's when people start finding her address and doxing her and all that stuff.
Which is not cool.
She's also been liking a flood of tweets from fans criticizing BET for their tweet. Nicki and Cardi were announced as headliners for the BET Experience in January, with the show to take place on June 21st. Other performers include Tory Lanez, Trippie Redd, Cardi the Migos, Lil Yachty, Lil Baby, and City Girls are set to perform June 22nd. Nicki also told a fan on Twitter that her historical lack of recognition from the Grammys came after she pissed off the same man Ariana just called out for lying. Grandy nixed her plans for a performance and called out producer Ken Ehrlich for lying about the singer's reasoning. Minaj called out Ken, saying, "I was bullied into staying quiet for 7 years out of fear, but I'll tell my fans the real on the next episode of Hashtag Queen Radio. They deserve the truth." I mean, I can't say that I expect her to be out here telling the truth and being honest with people or not. You know, that's
not for me to tell.
Yeah, she's said and done a lot of wild shit that I didn't necessarily believe at the time. But this is just that cliche, like, living for the internet, dog. Like, thought it was funny to be spicy for the bird, and now you're fired. Because you know BET ain't going to be like, "Well, we did empower you to make that decision," mm-hmm. "and that fired. You're getting fired." They're blaming the whole thing on you. "We would never, Nicki. We would never disrespect. We love you."
Right, because they don't want to fuck up that relationship.
Not to mention, obviously, if they had her at the Experience, they are still working with her. So you have to be careful. Like, these blogs and shit that do that kind of stuff for a living, and a lot of these people that want to be these blogs, you got to pay attention. You know, you got to pay attention to behind the scenes. You know, like, the Shade Room doesn't get paid from Nicki Minaj exclusives.
No, they don't.
So they don't have to worry about offending her or exposing her or bad press. You do. You don't have that type of job. You know, and a lot of people should think more about this kind of shit. You know, it's not just for this type of company, but for yourself too. If you're going to end up in the room with one of these motherfuckers one day that you've been shitting on, and it's gonna be awkward as fuck, or something might happen. You know, just be prepared for it. You know, it can happen to any of us.
True.
If I say some shit on this show, I'll be ready to be like, "All right, and I might see this nigga one day." Right? I have to think that. I can't just be like, "Oh man, I think he fucked up." And then that's why sometimes we talk about shit, and you know, there's a level of empathy there, because I'll never lose that humanity for people, because I still want to be like, "Well, maybe they going through some shit," or it could be
that. Never know.
Like, you really got to be pushing it for me to be like, "Yeah, it's nothing about this person I can see being cool. Like, it's no reason for this shit, no excuse, no rationale behind it. Fuck them, they're just a bad person." You know, because you just never fucking know.
Mm-mm.
So BET released a statement. "The respect we have for Nicki was violated by this post that should never have been written. The post does not reflect how we feel about Nicki. We deeply apologize for the hurt, disappointment, and confusion that this post has caused. We're committed to doing everything we can to address the situation." Okay. All right. Well, that people must have canceled them tickets.
They probably lost some money.
She saw that shit.
You think Harriet Tubman was walking around with a fucking nice, shiny fucking dress on, with a fucking crown on her head, when she was taking slaves to freedom?
That's what she told them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that shit was disgusting, sticking her fans on them and stuff. It's just unfortunately par for the course for her too. Like,
yeah, she has a pattern of that.
So it's literally like, I could have told you, if you told me what happened, I would say, "Oh yeah, that's how that's gonna go." All right, let's see what else we can talk about. How about do some fucking with black people, guys. I know it feels like we already did it, but I promise you we haven't yet. I have not even began to fuck with you niggas.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with the wheel sign, point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody!
Yay!
Katy Perry is in the news.
What she done did?
She done got her shoes pulled for blackface.
High shoes blackfacing it. I heard a soft shoeing, but that blackface shoe.
It's a competition, y'all. It's a contest. A raffle, something is happening right now
for Black History Month, what a white person every day got to come up with some blackface controversy in order to be entered into the $1 billion raffle sponsored by Jeff Bezos. Because what the fuck is happening?
What are the shoes called blackface? I don't understand.
Are you looking at the shoes? I put them in the chat. Are you not looking at the shoes, Karen? Do you not see the big ass red lips and the eyes on the shoes?
Oh, okay. Oh, so those are eyeballs.
First it was Prada, then Gucci, and now pop star Katy Perry, who, yes, is apparently a fashion designer, is in hot water for selling shoes that evoke, intentionally or not, the racist imagery of blackface. Style in question is a pair of mules or mule, I don't guess, and some high heel sandals featuring eyes and big red lips resembling minstrel makeup.
Okay, that makes more sense,
you know, as one does. I want to see the mock designs that they have to pass up before they get to the blackface every time. Oh my god. And I guess it would look different with some white feet in it, but still, that's not a good look.
Yeah, you didn't have to put the lips on it, dog.
I guess it's supposed to be women's lipstick on your shoes.
Well then just do the lips and not the eyes.
It's also some Mr. Potato Head looking shit.
It does. That's what I thought.
What are you doing?
That's what I thought at first.
All right, Karen, 0 to 100.
It's 100, but I don't give a fuck about her shoes.
Yeah, for me,
I'll give it a 75.
For me, I think I would give it a 50. A 50. It's not even the best blackface we've seen, or the most offensive, but no. It is on theme.
Yes, it is on theme.
You know, Cory Booker says we need to have an honest conversation on race. It's time for us to put ourselves in white people's shoes.
Ain't he running for president or supposed to
be? He is running for president.
So okay. How do we get to a point where we can start having the conversation without people falling into a defensive crouch? Because sometimes when folk want to tell the truth about something, they fear speaking the truth or talking to people about what they don't understand. I've had conversations with white friends of mine this week who just had the safety to come to me and ask me, I don't understand this blackface thing. Can you explain it to me? Imagine in this climate now saying that publicly. Imagine, put yourself, want to have more courageous empathy, put yourself in a white person's position who might have questions.
Okay, let me just say here. Everyone in this room is white. So, and I think the optics of that cannot be eschewed. Everyone in the room is white. They are in a white person's position. What are you talking about? Like, I can see if he was talking to a room full of black people, he was like, we got to put ourselves in their position to understand, you know, how this privilege works and shit. You're talking to a room full of white people being like, poor white people. I mean, think about how ignorant y'all are and, you know, it's really not even your fault, really. I mean, I have to have empathy for you. No, you have empathy for me and don't put my fucking face on as a costume. That's where the empathy's supposed to start. Just flip that analogy, homie.
And my thing is this, and maybe it's just my ignorance. There are really white people out there going, I don't see what's wrong with blackface. I don't see what's wrong with color in my face. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm sure there's some. There's a lot of white people. You know,
shit is fucking offensive.
It's like that thing I always say, Karen. Okay, you have to think about this. It's not that white people necessarily are racist by intent.
Agreed.
Most white people racism on an individual level. We're not talking systemic level,
right?
Most white people racism on an individual level is about the fact that they don't give a fuck about us,
right?
It's not about the fact that they, like, walked out the house and said, I hope I offend some black people today. No, they put on blackface and they go, this is just funny to me. Black people's skin is funny to me. Black people being dark is funny to me. Ha ha. Other white people are the only people I think of when I do this. And they're going to see it and laugh. Because aren't black people funny? Just their existence? Isn't that hilarious? They're big. Red lips I'm painting on my face.
Big eyes.
Yeah. Isn't that hilarious? Dark, very dark skin to the charcoal and shoe polish black. Isn't that funny?
Nappy hair.
This is how they all look, guys. That's the, so no, I don't think that necessarily they're going, I didn't know this was offensive, or I knew this was offensive and I did it anyway. I think there's a lot of them that really was like, I never even took the time to think about if it would be offensive because it was funny to me. You know, I mean, I don't know if you believe me or not, but that's how I feel. That's what I think.
And I understand that, because the thing about white privilege allows you to not give a fuck and not have to consider anybody else. And the problem is that when somebody be like, hey, and not even in a nasty or mean or a dragging way, they be like, hey, that's offensive, you lash back, and then we got a motherfucking problem.
And I'll take it even further. These people that do blackface, nobody says anything to them when they do it,
right?
Except laugh. So you don't even have the experience of being like, because you know there's some things that we do that are offensive to people, and we find out when we're in their presence. Right. You're not in their presence here.
Mm-mm.
So no, they're not black people at these parties or the kind of black people that go up to you and go, I'm offended by that. You can take that off, you know? And you're right. Their defensiveness and reflexive anger and stuff at being called out, obviously, that's par for the course as well.
Right. And
you know what I mean? And that's very offensive.
That's what starts a lot of the battles is the fact that when you respond like, what's the problem?
Right.
And people are going, okay, I was trying to be nice, but now I'm not going to be nice no more because you won't even take the kind, sweet part. So now I'm going to fucking yell at you, and then you have these battles.
And we haven't really created an environment where, but put it this way, I shouldn't say created. The environment we have now about these blackface in the midst of these controversies, yeah, it's not one conducive to you asking a black person randomly or a friend, hey, can you explain blackface and why it's so offensive to me?
Right.
That being said, I would not put it past a lot of black people, if they're really your friend, to explain it to you.
Because
I don't think it's like, this is not some stranger on the internet, but he said, Corey said his friend called him and asked him about it. I wouldn't put it past people that have white friends, white lovers, relatives, to be like, oh, nah, let me explain this to you so you don't go out here and get fucked up. Because I know I would. You know, if I had a white friend or family member that was like, hey man, now the key is I have to believe that they don't understand. But if they say, hey, I really don't understand and I'm scared to fucking ask, you know, I wouldn't mind telling my friend that if I had one, if I considered them a friend. But you don't need a black friend to find out what's wrong with this.
Mm-mm.
We have all of the goddamn internet.
There's so much resource, so many resources out there.
Computer in your pocket. Just Google it.
And you don't constantly see the articles popping up about people losing their fucking job. And I think that's the thing that makes people mad.
I don't think they do.
What? All this shit in Virginia and nobody goes, well, I don't need to do this bullshit.
I think privilege is that big. I mean, they might be asking now after this one because it's so big, but white people lose jobs and get in trouble over racist shit every day. Right?
True.
That, I don't think white people keep up with that shit. We care because we black.
Yeah, because it doesn't directly impact them. And that's the thing about racism. Racism allows you to do fucked up shit, not realize the shit you do is fucked up, and allow you to claim ignorance, regardless of if it's the truth or not. You can claim it.
Yeah, we care because we black. You know, I knew white dudes that thought the Confederate flag was Southern pride and heritage not hate. I knew white dudes that thought that shit. Now they never had one around me or no shit like that. And one of them, I found out one way because homie DM'd me and we was talking on Twitter about it, you know? And it was funny. The things I said to him made him go research it, you know? But I also didn't, while I was pissed and I did kind of, you know, I definitely let him know, like, this pisses me off to have to talk about this, but let me tell you, where you got me fucked up. And it was so weird. A couple months later, I saw him at the gym and he was so embarrassed because he was like, I can't believe I just grew up and believed that shit and never knew any better. And then I embarrassed myself in front of you because I was repeating this shit and you already had known all this truth. And, you know, I was skeptical because, you know, at this point I'm telling him 30 years of what he's learned is wrong,
right?
And what, and
brainwashed.
I, yeah, and you know how Twitter and social media is, they expect you to get it that second, like, oh, I'll throw out 30 years of knowledge, no problem. Like, nah, it's a process, it's a human thing, it's why it needs to happen in classrooms, it's why it should be taught from the time you're a fucking child. But anyway, my point being, like, I can understand how that scenario can happen where a white person is like, I don't know, and I'm also afraid to ask because the shit now is so controversial. I'm gonna say the wrong thing. You know, and then I'm gonna get, you know, obviously get canceled or whatever the fuck happens to white people, other than nothing, you know?
Right, and the thing is, when it comes to, it's very frustrating because it's one of those things where black people go, white people get your white people. Okay, we've talked about classes that white people have, and people complain about the classes. You can't have it both ways. You can't be like, I'm not your mule, I don't want to do the work, don't bother me, don't ask me about this racist shit. But at the same time, when white people talk to white people about it, get mad at the method that they choose to actually teach one another.
Yeah, well, the only kind of white people that know this shit are people that seek it out.
Correct.
You know? Anyway, back to the video.
Look, I grew up in high school in the 80s, man, and it was a homophobic environment. I got to college, and I started working as a volunteer. I eventually...
Okay, so to clarify, he's pivoting now to his own privilege with being cishet, and how he didn't understand how messed up it was for LGBT people dealing with issues because he wasn't one, and he was in the counseling situation, and he got to talk to one of the head counselors who said, I'm gonna sit down with you, you can just ask me any ignorant thing on your mind about gay people so that I can give you the answer so that you will get rid of these stereotypes and be able to better represent yourself for this call center or whatever. Now, I'm not gonna play the rest of it really, but it was just funny because when he first started pivoting today, I was like, oh, is he about to go ahead and tell everybody to, oh, my bad. Okay, play. I wasn't trying to assume, but I was like, is this a pivotal, like, how do you bury the lead that he came out and was like, listen.
How do you bury the lead?
Like, listen, guys, I'm tired of pulling this bullshit. I'm not single, I'm not dating Rosario Dawson. But nah, it wasn't even what I thought it was. It was just him relating to privilege, kind of like we talk about it all the time, the only thing for me, and I know it's because he's running for president and shit, I just don't like the whole the framing of, and just, it's just not good framing to be like, put yourself in the position of the person in privilege, and that poor person, what are we going to do to help them? Because I don't know, by extension, it doesn't feel right. You should be asking them to put themselves in the shoes of somebody, of black people who are tired of their race being mocked. You know, hey, a Google search would have saved you a lot of time.
A lot.
A conversation. There has to be plenty of YouTube videos, podcasts, all kinds of stuff now about the history of blackface and why it's not cool. Plenty of media.
And that's,
you know,
if you want to learn.
Right. And there, and the other thing too, and Karen, you weren't too far off. I mean, there's a ton of people. I mean, you weren't off at all, but there's a ton of white people who really do know it's bad and don't give a fuck.
Right.
I mean, there's a huge group of these people. It's not like all the white people are innocent snowflakes. They're not innocent people just stumbling into some bullshit.
Right. And like I said, I always look at it just like I kind of look at black people when it comes to police. I can't decipher.
Right.
And because I don't know without actually having a conversation with you,
then they all bad to you.
Right.
Yeah, I get
it. It's like, you know, and that's the thing. I don't assume my white people are bad. It's just with the fact that once you start talking about certain things, they start throwing keywords out there and you start piecing it together. You be like, oh, okay.
Oh, I was just talking about the blackface white people. You just meant in general.
Eject. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, if somebody's doing blackface, I assume the worst.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? If it's just a white person, I don't assume the worst. But if you're doing blackface, I absolutely assume the worst.
Yeah. You doing blackface. Mm-mm.
I knew a dude that did blackface. He did Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, was his costume for Halloween, and he was walking around with a Christmas hat and brown on his face. I wasn't at the party and I didn't see it. I did see pictures of this party later, and one of the pictures, a black dude was in the background who clearly didn't see the guy and was like talking to somebody else, and they took a picture of him with the black face and shit. And when I seen it, because I'm just that type of dude, and I'll tell you the same thing I told them white dudes when I used to have them as friends. I don't know what other black people are cool with, but it's a lot of shit on my list that I don't fuck around with. The N-word, I'm never cool with y'all dapping me up, not even ironically. And blackface clearly was not on the list of acceptable things white people can do around me. And they were like trying to like laugh it off on some like, nah, you know, he thought it was Mr. Hanky, see? And I said, listen, man, I don't know if you're trying to be super clever, because he was kind of stupid. So I was like, I don't know if you're trying to be super clever or if you just really just stupid, but that shit's not cool. Don't ever do it again, and you can never do it around me,
because it's not funny.
And it's like, man, you think I'm racist for real? Because they saw I wasn't laughing, I wasn't joking,
right?
And I wasn't budging off of it. I was like, no, don't, this shit is fucked up. I was like, do you know the history of this? It's just Mr. Hanky. That's the only history. I'm like, no. Mm-mm. Look up blackface. But it's not blackface. I was trying to be like the Christmas fool. Hey, man, listen. I know what you think you look like. If I put this picture right now on my Facebook page, motherfuckers going to be asking for your name and address because they're going to put hands on you.
Right.
It's not okay. And I said, you think I'm, because like you said, they get defensive.
Right.
I was like, you think I'm scolding you. I'm not even mad at you.
Right.
I believe you're stupid enough to not know this.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm telling you is a warning so you don't get fucked up later. Cause I'm not the kind of person that's gonna fuck you up.
Mm-mm.
I'll leave a party if I walk in to see some shit like that,
I'm
leaving.
Out.
You ain't ever gotta worry about kicking it with me again. But it's cause he was like, we were walking down the street and we were having a good time, and he was like, it was people looking at us funny and shit. I was like, yes. Cause you had blackface on. He was like, I just tell him it's Mr. Hanky. I'm like, okay. Damn. And then you're gonna get your ass whooped as Mr. Hanky. Like, what the fuck? White people crazy, man. Anyway, 100
same
for blackface in general. For Cory Booker, though, I guess like a 50. I give 50 for him.
Same.
Here's the thing with Cory Booker, dog, and I've been thinking about this for a while. The nigga needs to hire some writers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, preferably some comedians, because he's one of those people that I feel like, I don't know the man, this is how I feel. White people have been telling this nigga he is articulate his entire fucking life, and he is taking that as, that means I need to talk for as long as possible, no matter how fucking simple the point I'm trying to make is. And this nigga be talking. Oh my God, he be talking.
Yeah, you gotta know when to wrap it up.
Wrap this shit up, bro. You take the simplest answers and turn it into a fucking, it's like I'm talking for 3 minutes no matter what. No, man, get some one-liners or something. You got something. What do you think about this blackface thing, man? Don't do it.
Work on your minute set, then build it up to two.
Yeah, Google this shit, man. I don't even have the animosity towards him that so many people seem to have.
Mm-mm.
I do find him to be a bit corny, you know, but corny's very, you know, corny is very subjective, and to be honest, corny should never disqualify somebody from fucking being the president or holding political office.
A lot of corny,
I kind of want some corny in my goddamn political office, okay?
Right. I'll take corny any day of what the shit we got now.
That's the problem now. Y'all want too many cool people that you want to drink a beer with. I'll take a corny ass nigga if y'all think he's if he can be a good candidate. Now that remains to be seen. But yeah, homie, I need some people to help him get some like tighter bars. These bars are so long. You can ask him anything and it's gonna be a long ass answer. It don't even matter what the fucking thing is. I'm definitely not looking forward to these debates. But all these niggas on stage and him going over time? No.
Mm-mm. Then they're going to be out there like they just came out of a clown car. No, thank you. Give me 50 of them up there.
Yeah, like everybody saying in the chat, he need to get Andrew Gillum. Somebody need to help him. Because there's no reason he should be this storied of a politician and still making me fall asleep when they ask him like, so what do you think about the weather? And he's just like, weather's a very, very controversial thing, a very important thing.
I was looking,
you know,
up in the sky the other day.
When I was a child, weather was very important in my neighborhood. a lot of people experience weather. We had weather people on TV. Like, nigga, shut the fuck up. It's 60 degrees. All right. Lastly, for fucking with black people, y'all laughed and y'all doubted them. And I know we mocked, but it looks like we all were wrong. Dr. Umar finally built that school. Now, hold up. I don't know why this video is filmed on a flip phone.
All right.
What is up with the resolution on this?
I don't know.
It kind of looked like an abandoned school, to be honest here. Like, those are not doors for a school. Those are plywood.
School already built and you just bought the building?
Yeah, those are plywood. Did you get...
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Umar Johnson. I am a certified...
Somebody close the door. Okay, first of all, you let the door open behind you. That's how I know that key don't work. He's like, don't close the door. We might not get out. Okay? this school is look like it has been abandoned since civil rights. What is happening? There's a chair in the background on the left just sitting out.
I don't know.
And it's a rolling chair, not even a chair for students. Are you sure he didn't just walk in an abandoned school and start filming? Are we sure?
School psychologist and doctor of clinical psychology. 4 long years ago, we began a fundraising campaign to build America's first independent African center.
This school is clearly not something they built.
No, it is not.
This is not a new school. This Mm-mm. is not like the construction is done on the school. Let's go check out the new school. This is just a abandoned school he's walking through.
Yep, that he probably bought.
Oh my God.
Entered school based off the principles of Pan-Africanism and international economics. It has been 4 long...
I like how he just shows some graph with a pie chart and a map of all the countries behind
1980s graphics. PowerPoints.
Based off of geographical economics, okay? You could tell because it's a map and it's a pie chart and some charts in the background.
And they're going up.
Mm-hmm.
Long years of fundraising. 4 long years of searching all across this country, flying and driving from state to state, city to city.
Whoever edited this and put in pictures of traffic for this part.
Looking for the best place to begin. And the Frederick.
And my thing is, check out the hallway. It's shit in the hallway.
Right? They didn't even clean it.
I don't know. We was out of school a few days ago and nigga didn't look like this.
They didn't even straighten it up before mm-hmm. filming. They must have been like, we got 15 minutes for the police come back. Hurry up. I think the alarm went off.
Douglas and Marcus Garvey, RBG International Leadership Academy for Pan-African Excellence. I want to thank all
the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey. They named after 2 people, but then Pan-African RBG, like he threw all the hotel words up,
all the letters,
all the hotel words. Why didn't he have nothing about Egypt in here? Like I feel like Egypt got slighted. Okay.
Oh, it's gonna be Egypt 210.
You are now assigned to Pharaoh's 200.
You are now assigned King Tut 450.
Please report to the comedic wing of the ancient hallways.
My loyal supporters and all of my donors who have stood by me through this tough and difficult time.
He really got a tuxedo on. Mm-hmm. And it's just the bow tie, everything.
Yeah, I got wires showing. This is not a functioning school.
The school from Lean On Me was in better shape than this. I hope they didn't. Did they get some of the money back? Because clearly not all the money was spent Mm-mm. on this.
And I am happy and elated to report to you today that we have found the location for the very first FDMG Academy. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, parents and youth, and elders, our ancestors are happy today.
there's no door on that door frame.
No, it's debris on the ground. What there's is happening wires here?
Hanging from the ceiling.
There's shit in the hallways.
This is not up to code. This look like that town in Aliens where Ripley found Newt. What the fuck?
They was like, they got a discount on this building.
Joyce and Heaven, because we can now begin the process of psychological reconstruction, one African mind at a time.
That does not sound, that does not sound good.
Like they're gonna have to reconstruct that building.
That sound, yeah, you might want to construct the building before you reconstruct any minds, but also psychological reconstruction does not sound,
that sounds
very forbidding. That sounds like what foreboding, that sounds like what Hydra does to motherfuckers.
Come on, hell Hydra,
he needs some psychological reconstruction. No, no, hell Hydra, no.
At the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Academy,
how many times are you gonna show this?
We're going to be teaching our young men along the lines of six key sciences. The first science will be economic and financial science. We want our young men to understand.
That's a science.
First of all, did you miss something, Karen? Did you miss that they will only be teaching young boys? There will be no girls at school.
Mm-mm.
All the hotel dollars go straight to the black man. I guess they gotta wait to fundraise for another school that's just gonna be a kitchen for the girls.
Yeah, a kitchen and a sewing machine.
Right. where they will be in Baby Raising 101.
You will be in Dustin 210. Mopping 411.
The first day class we have to enroll them all in is Sister Wives 200, okay? Because you will be among many women that these men will be having sex with.
Ironing 320.
Wealth as opposed to money. We want them to understand international investments, banking. We need them to be able to read the stock market reports. We want them to understand real estate. And we want them to master the principles of interest.
And finally, child support. Because that's going to be very important to many of these boys, as it is to myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get you.
Come on, we gonna find fleecing the government 320. How to avoid paying your taxes 550.
In addition to financial and economic science, we're going to teach our young men dietary and nutritional science. As you know, our people are dying.
You're killing me with this science. Everything ain't a science. What are we talking about here? Am I the only one confused? But I have taken classes for years and nobody has said dietitian science.
But you know what's funny too, though?
That's medical science.
You know what's funny? The graphic they showed up was a white person, the white people food chart. I'm like, do y'all even believe in that? Is that what you gonna teach the kids?
Mm-mm.
Shouldn't it just be a big ass graph of alkaline and how much is in shit?
Every day from poor food and poor dietary habits. We want to teach them how to understand and use the vitamins and minerals that the universe has given us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to teach them how to eat in order to live. And on top of that, there will be agricultural and agronomical science.
Ah, that science, dog! You killing me with that?
That agronomical, dog.
Come on, that science. How to fold your unk?
I think Keith,
330.
I think Keith Murray gonna be teaching at this school.
Ah!
All these big words. Your agronomical niggas is comical. Now open up your books.
open up your mathematical science books.
If you can put that attical or that omical on something, you make you sound smart. Mm-hmm.
Them to eat properly, we must show them how to grow properly.
Why is this filmed in such low definition? Dog, and what's up with this office he's sitting in, y'all? I swear to God, it's just piles of books, but they're piles. They're not like ordered. It's not like a bookshelf. There's not a cases. There's no computer on the desk. I don't even know if they got electricity in this shit.
I don't think they do. This basically is like, we found a location.
I don't even think it's found like a location. I legitimately think this man walked into an abandoned school, Karen.
It looks like it, dog.
Like somebody's school is closed and he just walked in.
This is what we intend to do within the sacred walls of this great institution.
Oh, this one got a double door. It must be walking into the gym.
Oh, shit.
We are not yet done the work of preparing this school for our young men.
Also, do notice he doesn't let the doors close. Like, mm-mm, I legitimately think
they locked behind him.
He don't got no keys.
That the janitor gone for the day. They're going to get locked out.
Now I got to call my homeboy LeVar to see if he will let me back in the building.
Now y'all know Jimmy told us that we can only use it for a limited amount of time.
Oh shit, they are almost back from recess. Well, let's wrap it up.
Come on.
There are still...
Oh my, this is like a horror movie.
Oh, you don't know what? They ain't got no lights.
Right?
Is this... They don't got no lights.
Is this hoarders?
They ain't got no running water. No.
Many more repairs and renovations.
Wait a minute.
Have to take place.
Wait a goddamn minute.
Is somebody gonna crawl out the corners? What's happening here?
Wait a goddamn minute, Karen. I think we just skipped over something. Is he asking for more money?
Of course, because if you go back and listen to what he said near the beginning, he was saying they found a location. So this is the location.
Right, but he raised the money to build the school.
Oh, he didn't build this. He didn't build this. He basically said they found the location for the school. So basically, like you said, you going and getting an abandoned school.
Oh my God. At the Marcus Garvey and Sean King Institute.
What is happening here?
I need you to continue.
Is that graffiti on the wall? What is happening here?
On the wall. Honestly, man, this will be like if next year the people for FanCon walk through the convention center and be like, we have almost secured the money for FanCon to happen here at this abandoned warehouse owned by the docks.
We just need a little bit more money. We would have reached our goal.
Oh my God. He had to bring his own lights.
Somebody bought up a good thing. This is the Five Fest Hotel edition.
Ain't it? Oh my God.
To continue to donate, I need you to continue to sacrifice.
You know what? Pause it. Ain't got no lights because that look like a floodlight.
Yeah. He brought his own lights. That's what I just said.
Holy shit. They got natural light and floodlights. That's it.
Do you understand that he just said, I know you're looking at the pictures, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He said he need to continue to donate.
Of course he does.
Is the Kickstarter still active? Are they letting that happen?
Somebody
can you me. Even still donate?
You put the address across the bottom of the screen.
What are the school's supposed to be open 4 years ago?
Who's writing checks?
Donate. I need you to continue to sacrifice financially. Now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to give in.
This looked like the walking fucking dead.
Oh, where Rick and them?
We have our building, but now we must repair, renovate, and restore this fine institution.
What?
So that it is once again a model of 21st century learning.
Is he for real?
He gonna be Joe Clark to these kids.
Wow.
This is y'all giving money to this person, huh? I can't believe this.
Brothers and sisters, please send your checks and money orders payable to...
Okay, so that's what it is. He wants checks and money orders. He's no longer taking the GoFundMe and the Kickstarter type shit.
PayPal. I ain't doing that shit no more.
I guess then you can't ask for no refund.
Right. And they can't keep track of it. You can't be like, give my fucking money
Frederick
back.
Douglas and Marcus Garvey Academy.
To there's the address.
6872 Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 19132.
Somebody said that GoFundMe issued refunds for the school because they was like, this shit ain't never gonna happen. Get these people their money back.
And that's, oh, and then he probably was like, let me go ahead and do this video then and get people to just send me the cash straight up.
God, you a fool if you do, because you'll never get your money.
Tariq Nasheed gonna roast the fuck out of this shit.
You know he is.
They already don't like each other. It's gonna be another Hotel War Civil War Part 2.
Come on, shout out to Mr. Span.
Yep, Mr. Span gonna get his entire life. He's gonna be documenting the fuck out of this.
Come on!
It's better than iPhones versus
Samsung
for him. Oh my god, nigga. Y'all won't play the rest of these lies, but good grief. Ah, now I'm probably gonna get a bunch of Hotep suggestions in my fucking YouTube algorithm.
You don't get the rest of them videos. Would you like a Tariq Nasheed?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Would you like an Uncle 45?
This dude, man, 0 to 100, Karen.
He get 100.
Yeah, I gotta give this joint 100 because I don't know who the black people are that are giving him money.
Right.
But like, y'all deserve not to have y'all money. You know? Like, I hate to say that, but like, come on, man. Stop trusting these niggas. All this shit they be doing, you don't never think to yourself, like, why this stuff don't never come to fruition?
Nothing.
This nigga walking through a school look like Michonne should be looking for Judith in it.
Come on.
And you like, yep, you know what we need to do? He need my money. That's what'll fix this problem. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm coming, Dr. Umar. Let me get my purse. Mm-mm. And he only teaches boys, too, which is just doubly insulting. Because he had pictures with black women that supposedly gave him money and shit. Oh, I know what. Nobody better ever accuse me of not working hard. No, ripping them off. I have never.
Come on, y'all get too much. People that are paying premium to tell you, you open up that bitch, you be like, God damn, it's over 1,000 episodes.
I ain't never tried to convince y'all my shit was out and it wasn't.
Come on.
All of these episodes that we have recorded today. I also like how he was talking in that slow voice like he wasn't scamming. Like, oh, he must be serious. Mm-mm. Agronomical. All right, Karen. 0 to 100. Did I already say that? 100.
Oh, he get 100.
100. 100. That's fucks with me so bad. Oh, my God.
No power, no running water. Just
no HD video, Karen.
Right? You couldn't even rent one, dog.
Like, what did you film this on?
You could have rented one.
You couldn't. An iPhone is like 720p. What you film this on? Oh, my God. And y'all going to give him the money. I'm going to give him the money because he can't afford no good camera, I guess.
Mm-mm-mm. Mm-mm, that's why he only taking cash and money orders. We are
at the FanCon University of Hogwarts. We will teach your little Hotep what he needs to learn.
Come on.
That music in the background, the white man's music. don't think I didn't notice. What was the African drums, homie?
Come on.
Playing classical music. Oh, my God. Showing the white man's dietary restriction chart. Get the fuck out of my face.
Come on, dog. All right. Were we really about to do this?
Let's play some Guess the Race before we leave. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Boop, boop. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all across the globe, and we asked our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everybody playing is racist. All right, let's get into it. Detectives get an eyeful at a red light. January 18th, while stopped at a red light Tuesday afternoon, a New Hampshire motorist was living his best life, smoking crack cocaine and being filleted by a woman in a passenger seat.
Oh shit.
That is a pretty outstanding afternoon. Manchester Police Department detectives spotted Michael Duville, 51, behind the wheel of a Chrysler 300, stopped at an intersection. Duville, a Nashua resident, was engaged in illegal acts at the time, cops alleged. When two detectives approached the vehicle and identified themselves, he sped off.
He was he ain't gonna catch no crackhead. He was subsequently apprehended by a third cop. His passenger, however, fled the area and was not located. Oh, she was like, oh no, I'm out. Got other dicks to suck.
Right, I was just here for the dick sucking. You didn't say I was gonna be arrested.
Right.
That wasn't a part of the deal, so.
This was not this is not my ideal night, okay? We gotta get the hell out of here. This motherfucker gonna get me thrown in prison. And I'm just trying to make some money.
What's up, girl? I'm sucking dick right now. Let me call you right back.
One of my favorite clips of all time.
I know, we don't really have enough excuses to play this often.
I know, right?
They fled the area. Seen above, Duville was arrested on several charges, including lewdness, narcotics possession, and disobeying a police officer. Free on bond, he was convicted in Florida in 2016 on a misdemeanor theft charge, ordered to pay $370 in fines and court costs. Karen, guess the race of Michael Duville.
He is white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what y'all got. Pookie in New Jack City, black. Inappropriate circumstances, white. Chrysler 300, black. Oh, I didn't know I couldn't get a blowjob and smoke crack in the middle of the day, white. That car was in his mama's name, black. Chrysler 300 is a fake Rolls Royce, black. Oh, he white. African indentured servant, looks like Phantom until they pull up on next to it, black. Black, black, crack equal black.
Oh, you say he was driving a Chrysler 300?
Yes, he was driving a Chrysler 300.
Niggas love those vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go black.
Karen's changing her vote to black. Are you sticking with that final answer?
What's his name again?
Michael Duville.
Are you black?
Karen's going black. And the correct answer is white.
Shit. I was right the first time, huh?
Gotta trust your gut.
Yeah, I should have trusted my gut.
Some of y'all did get it right, though.
Yeah, I was like, that sounds like some white shit. This name sounded black, too, and I know niggas love Chryslers.
Yeah, that Chrysler 300 is very, that's a difficult one. I don't blame you, but, you know, he was white. I'm sorry, guys. Let's see. How about this one? That's old. Cops and a wanted man have a hilarious week-long romantic Facebook exchange.
What? White. They ain't coming to arrest your ass. They ain't doing nothing with us for a week.
A Facebook exchange in which police and the suspect played out a mock romance beneath the man's own wanted post has gone viral after he initially commented telling them to calm down. When Richland, Washington Police Department shared an appeal for information on a man named Anthony Akers last week, the last source they expected to come forward was the man himself. But instead, 38-year-old Akers commented below the post assuring them that he was going to cooperate. The police first post read, "Wanted Wednesday, Anthony Akers, 38, is wanted by the Department of Corrections for failure to comply. If you have any information, call 509-da-da-da-da." In a comment that has been liked more than 2,500 times, Akers wrote, "Calm down, I'm going to turn myself in." However, when he failed to appear after a few days, Richmond PA, got back in touch. They wrote, "Hey Anthony, we haven't seen you yet. Our business hours are 8 to 5 Monday. Of course, if you need a ride, you can call non-emergency and we will pick you up." Akers wasted no time in responding with an honest and hilarious explanation as to his as he said, "Thank you. Tying up a couple loose ends since I will probably be in there a month. Should be there in the next 48 hours. The next 2 days came and went, however, and after one Facebook user inquired as to whether he'd shown up, the police confessed that he had let them down again, and then things got weird. By way of an apology, Akers wrote, "Dear RPD, it's not you, it's me. I obviously have commitment issues. I apologize for standing you up, but let me make it up to you. I will be there no later than lunchtime tomorrow. I know you have no reason to believe me after what I did to you, but I promise that if I don't make it on my own by lunchtime tomorrow, I will call for a ride to assist me with my commitment issues. Thank you in advance to your response. If you are patiently giving me another chance with us, I know I don't deserve it. P.S. You're beautiful.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if I need to tell you what happened next, so I'll let this follow up still wanted post due to talking. But by Monday, Akers still had not appeared. Richland, Washington PD Department Police Department put out another statement, a little more melancholy than the first. Morose Monday. Dear Anthony, is it us? Last Wednesday, we reached out to you as wanted, and you replied, even said you were going to turn yourself in. We waited, but you didn't show up. After you stood us up, we reached out again, this time offering you a ride. You replied and you said you needed 48 hours. The weekend came and went. We are beginning to think you are not coming. Please call us anytime and we will come to you. Yesterday, after days of waiting and going back and forth, the police finally got their happy ending. Akers even posted a photograph of himself outside the station along with the note. Here for our date, sweetheart. Karen, guess the race.
Everything about this shit is white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Let's see. Why? What the hell? Okay. This may be the whitest shit Rod has ever read. Akers in 40. No, Akers is in white. This is the whitest of privilege crime story. White and stupid. This is white. The whitest shit ever. That's a white. He is more Green Acres than Green Mile white. A white. White nonsense white. Andy Griffin was the cop white. The police didn't hunt him down and gave him a chance to turn himself in white. Come home, daddy. I miss you, white. White, he put too much effort into that. The white is a privilege, damn. White, black, says Marissa. Black people exchanges ain't this long and hilarious. And white is a privilege. So it looked like everybody went white except for Marissa. And everybody got it correct except for Marissa. Aww. Good job, everyone. Yo, this nigga look like Marc Maron.
It would have been hilarious if he'd have been black Marissa, though.
This nigga look like Marc Maron. I guess Buddha Marissa, let me give her a Buddha.
Oh, no!
Like, hey,
them
what the fuckers?
Glasses.
Hey, what the fuckers? Trying to turn myself in to the police.
Right.
And there he is with a hat. He looked totally different. Alright, let's go to the bonus round. Alright, that's my bonus round music.
Nope. I'm about to say, we already played that game. There you go.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1. Mm-mm-mm.
Only because I didn't listen to my instinct the first time.
Yep. Well, let's see what your instincts tell you on the second one, all right?
Okay.
A woman has been arrested after her 4-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son tested positive for cocaine.
Oh, the kids is high.
The kids was on that white girl. Okay.
Oh, I know them kids was off the fucking chain. You know they was karate chopping shit and tearing that place the fuck up.
Yeah, sugar is already bad for kids, but booger sugar,
right? You know they was WWE-ing it up. They were fucking each other up.
A woman has been arrested after her 4-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son both tested positive for cocaine. And a quota, right? I don't know. I'm gonna let them pronounce it. Matter of fact, let me play this. Let me turn the volume up. Let them tell y'all what her name is. I don't even know how you pronounce this. It looked like Anaquita, but it could be Anaquita because you just never know. And why the fuck won't this play? All right. Well, I will read it until that plays. Anaquita, right? 31. Was arrested after her daughter passed out at school on Thursday and was taken to the hospital and tested positive for the drug.
Ooh.
How do you even know to test a child for cocaine?
They probably don't. They probably was tested for other shit and was like, there's something wrong with this child. Somebody was like, let's do drug tests, and it came up positive.
She was at school like, I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I know. She was shit nodding off and shit.
The little girl was rushed to the hospital after staff struggled to wake her after nap time. Like, why is she bleeding from the nose? I know kids get nosebleeds, but
none ideas.
This is a lot. The woman's toddler son was tested afterwards, also had traces in his system. Upon questioning Wright, who lives in Winchester, Kentucky, told police that she allowed a friend to come to her house and sell cocaine while her children were at home.
What?
One, I don't believe you. But two, that's still very irresponsible. Like, she said that like, no. I would never give my children cocaine. I'm a good mother. No. I allow someone to come to my house and sell cocaine.
And the children thought it was
while
sugar.
My children were there. Now that is what happened, but no, I would never. I mean, are you crazy? The night before her daughter passed out, she said her friend had been there until 3 a.m. It's not clear if she knew that the children had ingested drugs or not. According to WKYT,
ding.
The girl told authorities she found something on the floor and ate it.
That sounded because that's what the fuck children do.
They are four and two.
Right. That's what they do.
The woman has another child who was not harmed. She was taken into custody on two counts of first-degree criminal child abuse and is held on $25,000 bond. Karen Gesterace of Aniquota, Wright.
Black. And like you say, that's what children do. They pick up shit. They eat shit. They consume shit. They eat the children.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Felicia's cousin with the stash house and the kids got in her stash. Black, a family Steve Harvey would blatantly root for while hosting Family Feud.
Aww.
As a kid say, my kids like to get lit. Black, definitely too black lit. Po babies. I knew she was black when you couldn't read her name. Okay, Serena. White trash, white. It ain't a pixie stick, black. 5 second rule, black. Literal crack babies, black. Black, and she ain't shit. Black, quit jumping on my couch. Black, too much of a queen to go to Dr. Umar school. Black.
Aww.
That name though, black. Grandma is disappointed at her not sweeping. Black. White.
Grandma feelings hurt.
Child probably gonna get a whooping, black.
Come on, man.
I know.
Y'all killing me. Oh man, how you gonna, you get on some cocaine and get whooped. They, you know they did get a whooping.
You know they did.
Baby sitting in the bando, black. The babies call their grandma, mama. They mama Pam.
Aw, what a damn. That ain't good at all.
Oh, I think
everyone went black. And everyone is correct. Oh, God. Oh man, give me a sec. I'll put the name on the screen. Why is this? What did I just do? I clicked the wrong thing. Okay, all right. Now let me see if I can put her picture on the screen. Oh my God, guys! And a quarter. What are you doing? Just messing the babies up.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. Babies raising babies. I always say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Did the picture show up?
Yeah, her, oh, okay. Her hair is the color of a velvet rope.
Yeah. That's a wig, for sure. It's like, let me put on my getting arrested wig.
Come on, I ain't got time to do my hair.
Gotta go downtown again, talk to these crackers. Oh, man. So sad. It's time for y'all to, you know. That's why I say, man, never sell cocaine around your children.
Don't do it. Don't
maybe
do
I'm
it.
Being uptight. Maybe I'm a prude.
Call me old fashioned. I'm like, don't get the kids crack.
It might be respectability politics. I don't know.
I bought 100% in the dare. When they was like, don't do drugs, I bought in, and I'm gonna teach my kids don't do drugs.
Okay, I'm not saying
until you get old enough to understand.
Maybe I'm not this level of woke yet.
I'm not that woke.
But you gonna need to go to jail and think about what you did.
I mean,
for a while.
You know, say what you want to say. I mean, but if you can't spell or pronounce the drugs, you ain't got no business doing them.
I don't think we as a society should let you string out your 4-year-old on cocaine, because you know, like to let people sell dope out your house. That's all.
Come on.
And maybe, you know, call me Cop Molladin. I guess I'm sold the race out, but I think you need to go stew a bit and think about the decisions going on in your life.
You know, call me a square. I will just be a flat out square.
Yeah, I know that in this day and age, they're supposed to just give you a talking to, let you go back home and do whatever you want, but I feel like
it needs to be some boundaries.
It needs to be a talk.
I mean, we need to discuss things, you know. You know, there's all types of form of discipline, and you know, you ain't got to put your hands, but we need to have a conversation.
You might need a timeout. That's all I'm saying. Just a little timeout. Yeah. All right.
Look in the corner or something. We need to discuss. Come home, your kids be levitating and shit. You won't know what's happening in that house.
No, that baby's got superpowers.
No, they did. Coming in, them kids are punching holes through walls and shit like that, because kids are already hyperactive, and you just gave them something to kind of make them even more hyperactive.
Accused samurai sword killers living together in Blue Mountains. This is an update. Accused samurai sword murderers Hannah Quinn and Blake Davis will continue to live together in the Blue Mountains after a Downing Center magistrate ruled that their reporting stations could both be moved to Katoomba. The couple stand accused of murdering Sydney rapper Jet McKee in Forest Lodge last year after he burst into Mr. Davis's Forest Lodge home and attempted to rob them with a replica gun.
Oh shit.
Replica gun got killed by a real sword.
Come on.
They were each granted strict conditional bail following the alleged murder, with Miss Quinn initially being bailed to live at her mother's Red Fern address and report daily to the local police station. On Tuesday, a court adjusted so that the 23-year-old could live in Lawson and report to Katoomba after another court ruled earlier this year that the pair charged for murdering Mr. McKee could live together. We don't take this shit serious at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh no, why don't y'all just shack up and get your alibi straight while we look into this murder you may have committed.
Ah,
what? Could you do that with a gun?
No.
Oh my god. All right. Thanks guys, we'll be back. Walking Dead is back, so we're definitely doing that recap this week.
Mm-hmm.
We might just do wine and Walking Dead, and then white people news if we have time left over for mm-hmm. Walking Dead. We might just combine it all in one thing. So we'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday. Don't forget, premium people, new Lip Smacking Good episode is out.
Yay, I had a fun time doing that show.
Like I said, we was working, man. And
we
then
was.
Also I was on the Dream Team, which is on the Single Simulcast network, so that was a fun time. We talked politics and a bunch of stuff, so if you guys want to hear that, check it out, man. We're always working, we're always doing something around here. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for all the people that came in and checked us out live tonight, and we'll see you guys soon. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.